This is The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. You know, they just could not get their fill of Bill last night in Charlotte.
We are here to nominate a president. And I've got one in mind.
There was the down-to-earth Clinton.
President Obama started with a much weaker economy than I did. Listen to me now. No president, not me, not any of my predecessors, no one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
We heard the good Bill bridge-building Clinton.
When times are tough and people are frustrated and angry and hurting and uncertain, the politics of constant conflict may be good. But what is good politics does not necessarily work in the real world. What works in the real world is cooperation. What works in the real world is cooperation.
And there was the bad Bill Clinton, lambasting the opposition.
We simply cannot afford to give the reins of government to someone who will double down on trickle down.
Good lines, good cadences, a very good show from the former president at the convention in Charlotte nominating President Obama for a second term. But the details in the election this fall are in the demographics, and we heard a very important speech last night that hit a theme the Democrats hope will be a driver to widen the advantage Barack Obama already has in the polls with women.
An America in which our president, when he hears that a young woman has been verbally attacked, thinks of his daughters, not his delegates or his donors. And in which our president stands with all women and strangers come together and reach out and lift her up.
That's Sandra Fluck speaking in Charlotte last night, carrying the flag for women who were outraged by what happened to Fluck earlier this year when she testified about federal payments for reproductive health services.
This is the message that not requiring coverage of contraception sends. A woman's reproductive health care isn't a necessity, isn't a priority.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Rush Limbaugh there, deliberately mispronouncing her name, picking up on Fluck's remarks and delivering a series of pathetic insults that cost him a number of his radio sponsors, but just for a while. That was then, back in February and March. This is now. Sandra Fluck, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I get the sense that part of your symbolic value there on the podium is that you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, that would be one way to put it.
How do you function as a symbol politically? Who do you hope to arouse? Because your story is your story. Everyone hasn't experienced that story in themselves personally. But what do you want them to do? What actions do you want them to take?
Well, of course, my experience was unique. But I do think that a lot of women in this country have had the feeling of someone silencing them in this way, or someone attacking them with this kind of language. So that, I think that's part of why it resonates with women, is that it is a common feeling and experience. But what I was really focused on last night was not the symbolism of it, but the content of pointing to the policies that Mr. Romney and Mr. Ryan are advancing for women in this country, making distinctions between which survivors of rape should have access to the abortion care that they need, a bill that Mr. Ryan co-sponsored, or not advancing any plan whatsoever for closing the wage gap, for addressing equal pay for equal work in this country. And I just really wanted to make sure that everyone knew what kind of a choice we were facing this November, what we were facing if we elected Mr. Romney to the highest office in our land, and that we have a better choice in President Obama, a president who has consistently stood with women in this country.
We're talking with Sandra Fluck, who spoke at the Democratic National Convention on Tuesday night. Do you make a distinction between the kinds of remarks that Rush Limbaugh said, the Todd Akin remarks about so-called legitimate rape, and the leadership of the Republican Party who attempt to distance themselves from it? Do you think all women have to fear the most radical speakers in the conservative and Republican movement, or can we distinguish between these radical voices and Mitt Romney?
Well, you know, a few years ago, I would have said that there was a distinction, but unfortunately, I think we're in a really dangerous place right now, because we've seen repeatedly that Mr. Romney is not willing to take a stand against those extreme voices. We saw that not only in his response to Mr. Limbaugh's attacks on me, but in his handling of several things during the primaries, campaign issues. He has repeatedly kowtowed to those voices in his party, and that's what really concerns me. Because that's, number one, that's not leadership, that's not a principled stand, and that gives us a strong, clear indication of how he would govern. He would continue to be beholden to those most right-wing voices and to cave in to their demands to limit women's access to health care, to take us backward on gay rights, on so many progressive issues. And moreover, we have seen from his record and from Mr. Ryan's record that when they're actually in office and not on the campaign trail, this is what they put into practice. Mr. Romney vetoed a bill that would have guaranteed survivors of rape access to emergency contraception in the emergency rooms of this country.
All right.
That was the action he took when he was in office.
Let's get a sense of how well this message that you spoke last night from the podium in Charlotte resonated with some of the delegates. Listen.
The Republicans want to take away a woman's right to choose, even if she is a rape victim.
Republican attacks on women's health.
Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan would have us fighting to defend old gains all over again.
They would take away a woman's right to make decisions about her own pregnancy.
The theme from the podium there in Charlotte, who needs to be energized out there, particularly looking at your story, Sandra Fluck, who needs to be energized? Young women who maybe don't turn out at the polls in the numbers that the Democrats need?
Well, absolutely every one of us has to be energized this November. There is no room for anyone to be on the sidelines. The polls are too close in this election. This is not a slam dunk, and we need everyone to be doing everything they can. Folks in New York, I really hope, will go to neighboring states and help to register voters, especially where there are voter suppression efforts happening. So that's a big contribution that New Yorkers could make. But we all have to do everything we can. Spreading information about what's at risk and what kind of policy differences we're talking about between Mr. Romney and President Obama.
Do you resonate in the crossover states like Colorado before we go?
Well, when I was in Colorado, I got a warm reception, and I have talked with women and also men who support them across the country who
All right.
are not just liberal women, but Republican women who are very concerned about these issues.
Lots to do. Sandra Fluck speaking at the Democratic National Convention on Tuesday night, speaking with us at The Takeaway. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.